Moving right along, and I just wanted to, felt impressed upon my heart to share with you as we begin this morning, and you can have a little read of that, was that as we look into the book of Revelation, it can be rather depressing. And in these end times, I would caution us to not become focused on the end times. Be aware of it. Be aware of it, but don't be focused on it, or it will consume you. And then when you share the message of hope, you'll be without offering people hope. So continue to keep your eyes on Christ, because he is our hope. He is our hope, our living hope. Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. He is the living hope of the entire world. The drowning person needs to know their hope. Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried out, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. Wow. So here we are in the second half of the tribulation period, and people are coming to Christ. Many are being killed for their newfound faith. And they're being killed by, in verse 10, those who dwell on the earth. Well, who are those? Well, this is what we saw in Revelation chapter 6, verse 4, that it was given power to this one that was ruling to destroy people. They were killing one another. It was that people would kill one another. The ones doing the killing are the people on the earth at that time who have chosen to follow and worship the beast. You can see that in Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. That's who's doing the killing. They've been taken in by the Antichrist. You can hear him. I could imagine his message to the world. It's those believers. Remember the rapture? Remember the disaster? And now they're coming up again? We can't have this, or they'll destroy the world again. Just lies. Not very convincing in a person in that position. Just my thought on it. Verse 11, that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were martyred for their faith was completed. But where were they? Well, they weren't just gone. They weren't in hell. They were someplace. This is not all there is. They were someplace much, much better. But here they are under the throne. And they're crying out to God. So they're in his presence. See the omniscience, the all-knowing, the foreknowledge of God. See the patience and long-suffering of God toward mankind. See how profoundly connected we are to God and to others, saved and unsaved through Christ. You say, well, I'm saved and they're not, so I have nothing to do with them. Actually, their salvation might depend upon your obedience to God so they can see God. Don't just live for yourself. What about the unsaved? Well, they don't want to hear it. You know that? Did you personally talk to somebody? I've talked to somebody who didn't want to hear it. And I've shared it with you before. And so I gave up on them. I stopped praying for them. And they still came to Christ. But I was faithful and delivered the message before they told me they weren't interested. So deliver it. And if you get the occasion, deliver it again. Don't be rude. Don't be pushy, as it were. Ask God for occasion. And when the occasion comes, step into it. The ones who know the one who knows the number of each hair on our head knows not just the number of people who will receive his salvation. He knows their home address. I found that interesting. When I read that verse, I thought, oh, he knows the number of hairs on our head. No. He knows the number of each hair on your head. There goes number 437. Down the drain. He knows all of that. Luke chapter 12, verses 6 to 7. Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Psalm 116, verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So while we mourn the loss of our loved ones, he's rejoicing because he doesn't just have to have them read his letter anymore. They are there with him. So our loss is his gain. Our gain is his loss, as it were. If you're living for self, that's very true. If you're just living a selfish life, that is very true. Revelation 6, 12 to 13. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. To quote Jerry Benjamin, his comment to this is, God is going to be using his own creation to get the attention of the created being in order to bring them into a relationship with the Creator, who is Christ himself. And he's done that before. We'll look at it a little later. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 speaks of God's witness in the world. Lest you get thinking that you're the only hands that God has. And it's not true. It's not true. These signs are given to unbelievers in the tribulation because they are unprepared for the second coming of Christ. Signs are given to the unbelieving. There are no signs given to believers. Just let me run down this trail for a little bit, as it brings out another very important point. And I'm not all fussed or obsessed about making sure we get through the book of Revelation. We will. But when God is speaking to us, he's not just speaking about this verse or that verse. This is not a learning experience in that sense. It's an education of God and how he works through everything, everywhere, at all times. And it all comes together. So I'm not in a big rush to complete this book. Believers believe. People who run from one exciting event to the next, looking for signs and wonders to maintain or qualify their faith, are more akin to doubters than believers. They always need this extra little something. They are people who demand to be entertained by the miraculous. And if they don't see it, they'll move on, looking for that miracle. Nothing wrong with miracles, but miracles were given for a purpose. For a purpose. Jesus didn't just do miracles all the time. Matter of fact, after feeding the 5,000, he went across on the lake and was on the other side where they found him. They found him there the next day. They came to him and said, Lord, where did you go? And he turned and said to them, because he knew why they followed him. He said, you're following me because I provided food for you. It's the bread and the fishes. What, you want me to start a bakery? You want to become more dependent upon me just doing miracles for you instead of you actually getting over yourself and living the life I've given you to live? I come to give you life, my life. I didn't come to babysit. That was his message to them. Wow, that's kind of in your face. Oh yeah, he does miracles all the time. And I pray for miracles all the time. And I leave it with him whether he actually says yes or no. Because no is just as valid as yes. In the plan of God, it absolutely is. You can't convince self of that, but it is. Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 to 40. Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 to 40. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he, that is Jesus, answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Resurrection. Nobody else has ever had that happen. The resurrection and the life. That's the sign. That's the sign. Not all this other stuff. I mean, I'm not saying don't pray for miracles. I absolutely do that. And I believe in them. But I need God to live, whether he gives me a miracle or not. Because that's also important. The scribes and Pharisees, they were believers. They weren't correct in their belief, but they believed in God. Nonetheless, they asked Jesus for a sign and even called him teacher. Oh, yes, of course, teacher. The King James says master. Of course, they addressed him correctly. But all the while they doubted that he truly was their master. And he nailed them for it. He nailed them for it. It says, you guys are just followers of miracles. If Jesus couldn't do or wouldn't do what they wanted him to do, he thought or thought he should do, they weren't going to follow him or listen to what he taught them. I want God my way or not at all, thank you. Oh, we don't come right out and say that. Maybe we should look in the mirror and ask God if we actually live that way conditionally. I love God when, and I don't like it when. Matter of fact, Lord, I don't even think I like you when. And there's no sacrifice in that. There's no sacrifice in that at all. That's just us kind of gleaning the scraps from the master's table. When he wants us to sit at the table, across the table from him, eyeball to eyeball, and enjoy the meal. To be grown up, as it were, as believers. In the Gospel of Luke, there was a woman who cried out to Jesus in a crowd, Blessed is the womb that brought you forth. Listen to Jesus' response to her from the book of Luke, chapter 11. Luke 11. Seems to be a study of the Gospels today. Verses 28 to 30. But he said, more than that, after this woman had said that, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Go to verse 30. And while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, This is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. 3 days in the belly of the whale. 3 days in the earth was Jesus, the resurrection. Wow. Jesus went right to the heart of the matter, like only Jesus can. He said that he wasn't going to be given them a sign because they were an evil generation. They didn't need a sign. They needed to repent of feeling they needed a sign. They needed to repent of doubting. They needed to repent of doubting. Faith, trust, interchangeable. You say you have faith. You got faith in that chair you're sitting on. So you cut because you came in and you sat down on it. We trust a chair to hold you up. We trust God to hold us up. Even during the storm, even during the difficult things. The very first sermon that Jesus ever preached, found in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, has repentance as its theme. And it simply says, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Don't have a belief about something or someone. Believe the gospel. Believe the living hope actually lives and rules and reigns, whether you get your way or not. Whether it's easy for you or difficult for you, doesn't change God's faithfulness to you. And this, what you're living right now, is not everything God has for you to do or to be. But it's more something of being for him what he desires. Let him being who he is through you but what He desires. It's more about God's desire than our own. How can we live like that? What could we do differently, maybe, so that it's more about God's desires than our own? I don't know. Maybe you can't. Maybe you look perfect. You look like everybody's doing exactly that. But if you're not, maybe ask Him, Lord, is there something more? They talk about it. I've said it before. Waiting on God, like a waiter in a restaurant. Is there something more I can get you? Maybe we should ask God that. Lord, is there something more I could give to You for Your glory? In every area of your life. And stop hiding behind, oh, I can't. Oh, I don't. Oh, I never would. Really, living according to your own limits. And I get it, sometimes there are limits. And that's why I said that after Norm shared what he said. There are those limits, and we do need to watch out for those things. But we also need to make sure that He has everything for me today that He wants. Ask Him. Well, how will I know? Ask Him. And let Him do the rest. Maybe you do. Maybe He'll just tell you, no, you're doing great. Take a nap. Catch you later. Because sometimes people that are too busy need to get that message. But it's what He wants. Does He want more? Does He want you to stop interfering? Go have a nap. I'm busy. Oh, see, not about us, about Him. More sensitive to His will. Yes, 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 yes. Letting God interrupt your plans. Thank you for that great testimony, Julia. It was amazing. He just hit a wall. I got a notion He built that wall for you. Just special. And He probably called all the angels. Watch this. She's running pretty fast. Watch this. Boom. Perfect. And then He stands right beside you. How are you? You hit that wall pretty hard. I love you. I got something I want you to know. Whoa. About Him, about us. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the whole world is something He wants us to know. So, as we consider such things, we need to remember that Jesus knows why we do what we do and why we want what we want. He either qualifies our desires or disqualifies them based on what He and only He knows is in our hearts. Qualifies or disqualifies our desires. Perfect. Throw them out there. I love that verse in Romans 8:26 about we don't even know how we should pray for as we ought to, but God, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us according to the will of God. People ask me sometimes, well, what do you want me to pray? Or I said, just pray. Well, how will I know what to pray? Ask God. I'm thinking, if you're not going to talk to God, I don't want you praying for me. I'm not going to tell you my agenda. I don't have an agenda. I don't even know that much about myself. Pray for me. Maybe tell me after what you prayed for me. Maybe, oh, gee, I didn't know I was that bad. I don't care. Just pray. Because if you're not speaking to God, He won't answer you. Don't worry about your words. Oh, what if I don't get the right word? Please. Does a child need to get the right word? Do you need to hear the right word from your child when he speaks to you? Just a little. Blah, 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 blah. What was the things that kids and grandkids wanted for? What was water? I'm drying up here, folks. That was our grandchildren. They're not too bright. They're wonderful grandchildren, but they're not too bright. But, or what was the goo? Gnu was what? Water. Yeah, gnu. What's wrong with water? Gnu. Speaking of which, yeah. Oh, God knows us. He wants us to talk to Him. He'll communicate to us. It's just beautiful. When people won't communicate, He'll do what He needs to do to get them to look up and communicate like when we prayed for Canada. Canada's not communicating with God much anymore as a nation. So we pray for Canada. We do these things. We ask for God's will. And we don't, Canada needs. I don't know what Canada needs, but when I start praying with Canada on my mind, some pretty serious things come out of my mouth. Lord, don't let us go any further like this. Self-sufficient, self-governing. We give you lip service. We don't honor and respect you anymore. Those are the kind of things I pray when I pray for Canada by myself. Wow. Pray hard. Pray seriously. Pray what comes to your mind. Come pray what's in your heart. If it's not right, don't worry about it. God won't answer you. They meant well, but that's not what I'm trying to say. Yeah. John 20. Let's take another kick at the gospel here, because I'm not quite finished that portion yet. John chapter 20, verses 19 to 29. Then that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Yeah, sure. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As my Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, he knew Thomas. He knew Thomas was having trouble believing. So what did he do? Just disregard him? No, he didn't. He knew and he came back. Thomas is having trouble. Jesus knows when you're in trouble. He'll come back for you. He knows when you're in trouble. We need to believe. Trust our living hope. And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, so right there, he was a believer. But Jesus said to him, to make a point, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Yeah, and not seen and yet have believed. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So Jesus went right to the heart of the matter, like only Jesus can. He said that he wasn't going to be giving them a sign because they were an evil generation. Pardon me, no, I'm in the wrong place. Sorry. God hears everything we say and knows every thought and intent of our hearts. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. With one more thought, you can look it up. It's Romans chapter 1, verse 20. And it talks about God is known from the things that he has created. So much so that all are without excuse. All are without excuse. We have all kinds of reasons we don't believe. There is no excuse. In God, eyes of God, there is no excuse for not believing. That's why if somebody's in trouble with God, that's why. That's why. It's like the excuses we used to make for not doing our homework, right, Mel? Yeah. We had all kinds of reasons for not doing our homework. My dog ate my homework. Like I said, it's like, what? But no excuses. It was reasonable, and we didn't do it. Wow.